This hour, we're talking about superheroes. Wonder Woman, Superman, and Spider-Man. But that's comic book stuff. What about the real world? What if you actually had real superpowers? Athlete, fashion model, and activist Amy Mullins has superpowers. A dozen of them, to be exact. They are her prosthetic legs. And the powers they grant her, amazing speed, beauty, and an extra 6 inches of height, are also redefining what it means to be abled in our society. Amy Mullins spoke with Anne Strainchamps about her superpowers.
The idea of having superpowers refers to a particular bit of enlightenment I experienced amongst a group of, you know, six-year-olds that I had challenged to come up with anything they could imagine, whether it was a cartoon character, a superhero, you know, an animal, anything they could think of that if I wanted to be able to jump over a three-story house, what kind of legs would you want to build me? And they were instantaneous in their responses of kangaroos and frogs and Google Gadget and, you know, all sorts of Japanese anime characters that I wasn't even familiar with yet. And immediately a boy said, "But wait a second, why wouldn't you want to fly too?" And everybody got so excited, including me. And, you know, for me, the poignancy of that experience was the immediate and palpable shift in the way that these children would have been trained to see me, a woman who has to wear prosthetic legs every day, as disabled. That word has a lot of weight to it. And in that instant, I became somebody who was super abled, somebody who had potential in her body that most people don't have. You know, I mean, and we're talking, obviously, theoretically, with jumping over houses and flying, but, you know, we're coming closer and closer to things that 30 years ago were sci-fi TV programs.
We should talk about your running legs, the famous cheetah legs. Can you describe those and tell me something about what it's like to wear them?
Most prosthetics historically always were meant to replicate the loss of a limb, right? So you model the prosthetic off of the flesh and bone leg. Well, if I was trying to be the fastest woman in the world on artificial legs and I didn't have to have human legs, it was like, why are we looking at them? Why aren't we looking at the fastest thing that runs? The idea of having this super energy efficient design in woven carbon fiber that mimicked the way the hind leg of a cheetah worked, and also the way sprinters, you know, sprinters run on the balls of their feet. So when I would switch, I would warm up and train in the shock absorber legs, and then I would switch to the cheetah legs actually to do sprinting or sprinting drills, because it's like if you were to stand up right now and stand on the balls of your feet, you'd realize you have very little balance. You know, you have to be moving. You know, so hamstrings go into contraction, gluteals, hip flexors, and it was the closest thing we could, as amputees, could experience to the way a sprinter really runs. And also, you know, I mean, I grew up on wooden legs, like a wood plastic compound. So 100% of the energy that I used to take a step was dissipated into the ground. Whereas the human leg, because it's a series of motors and springs, actually gives you almost a 240% return. I mean, it's an incredible thing to think about, that you actually get more energy back from the use of your leg. And this woven carbon foot gives you somewhere around 87% energy return. So you're still losing, you know, at least 10, 15% energy with every step. But it's so much better than what everyone had before.
I've seen you on stage in, I suppose, the legs that give you the greatest height, and you were wearing really stacked high heels also, and I think you said you were 6'1". You make a very beautiful, very imposing presence. Do you find that people respond to you differently depending on which legs you're wearing?
Yes, I do find that they respond differently. You know, it's interesting because even just people that I've known for many, many years who knew me, you know, at a certain height, who knew me at sort of 5'8", 5'9"-ish, and then to suddenly be 6'1", I find that sometimes it's apparent, it's disconcerting for people. Or they've actually been verbal with it, but telling me, gosh, it's just, this is freaking me out. You're so tall.
Well, you tell this great story about meeting a girlfriend once when you first got your really tall legs, and her response was to feel jealous.
Yes, she is stuck at 5'3" or something, you know, and she puts on, of course, she wears some major stacked heels herself. But, you know, she just said to me outright, "But you're so tall." I said, "I know, isn't it?" And it was literally the first night I'd been wearing these. I was out on the town, so it was completely an exploration for me. I was like, wow, I really found that I had to move with momentum, because to slow down in the heels was like, whoa, I'm not used to this yet. And I was just laughing about how much fun this was and how much of an adventure this was and how weird it was to suddenly see the molding of the tops of doors in a different way. And she said, "But Amy, but it's not fair." And, you know, to my surprise, she was serious. She was admitting an envy of that trait. And I have to say, I think it is an enviable trait. I think a lot of people would find the fun in being able to change your height at will.
Still, doesn't it strike you sometimes how very far we've come in this conversation?
I think the shift is nothing short of profound. And it's really been in the last 3 years. For many, many years, Anne, I had to sit through interview after interview and politely grin when somebody keeps referring to me as disabled. It's like, how can you with a straight face look at Brian McKeever, you know, the Canadian skier who is visually impaired and, you know, set the Canadian national record in his sport? How can you sit with a straight face, say that person is disabled because of their visual impairment? They're doing something on the same level as other elite athletes in the world. You know, that's quite frankly super ability to me.
You know, we've been talking about reconfiguring how we think of ability. You've also kind of pushed the edge in terms of how we think of what we think about beauty and what it means to be a gorgeous woman. You've also, besides running, you've also wound up working in the fashion world a certain amount of time. You know, you've shared the runway with supermodels like Kate Moss and Naomi Campbell. Your name has shown up on magazine lists of the 10 hottest women in the world. This is also important to you?
You know, it wasn't important to me, but when it happened, I have to say that there was a sense of a real coup for me. You know, I mean, I found it very interesting. There was a photograph by a photographer named Howard Schatz, and it's a black and white photograph, and it was part of a coffee table book he did called Athlete. And he had all the men wear black kind of boxer briefs and the women wearing black kind of Speedo briefs with a black sports bra, with the idea being that black, you know, it neutralizes any bumps that you would see. In other words, he was intentionally trying to take any kind of overt sexuality out of these photographs. He wanted it to be about the beauty of the human body doing these incredible athletic feats. And so it's a photo of me taken in the studio coming out of the starting blocks. And what was interesting was that Sports Illustrated did a feature on me, and they put this photo on their website. And it caused somewhat of a, you know, stir amongst certain feminist bloggers, you know, which was interesting to me because at the time I was the president of the Women's Sports Foundation and, you know, have always considered myself a feminist. And the stir was about this photo being too sexy and that I wasn't being heralded for my athletic achievement or my intellect, but, you know, for basically having a great butt. Which, by the way, I did work very, very hard for. It was like, yes, actually, I kind of appreciate my body being captured on film at the time when I was training this many hours a week. And I found it very interesting because I thought, wow, so I've actually moved up to the level where I can be objectified like any other woman now. How interesting that I've come from the, you know, primordial ooze where it was untouchable to be sexy,
right,
as a woman missing her limbs mid shin down, and now it's you know, too sexy. I thought, well, I'll take that.
I don't know if you ever read when you were a girl a book called Ozma of Oz. It's one of the sequels to The Wizard of Oz, and there's this character in it she's a princess, and instead of changing her gown every day, she changes heads. And she has this really gorgeous dressing room like every little girl dreams about with a collection of beautiful heads. You know,
that is fabulous. I've never even heard of this.
Oh, there's a redhead with green eyes and a temper, and there's a sultry brunette, and there's a perky blonde. And
oh, wait, so the different heads provide different temperaments?
Yes, they have different temperaments too, so she can choose not only which head she wants to wear in which situation, but which persona she wants as a little girl.
Well, there is like that. My legs have that power for me.
Really?
For sure. Absolutely. It's funny, I got approached by a grad school project that was presenting something to Mattel, and it was about how, you know, they were shocked that 20% of the United States technically has a disability. But yet, you know, Mattel has ever done two dolls, and they've been, you know, it's kind of like Share a Smile Barbie or something that feels a bit patronizing. And I think the Barbie who used a wheelchair, I think, was only, you know, produced for a couple years. And, you know, so they wanted to do a Barbie that had changeable prosthetic legs. And I kind of loved that idea of it, that, you know, you could just picture the little playing card-sized box of carved Barbie's wooden legs,
right,
or Barbie's
right.
Karl Lagerfeld glass legs. And, you know, I think that the today's generation of kids are extraordinary receptacles mm-hmm. to these kinds of ideas, because they've grown up with Second Life and Avatar and choosing their own identities with how they bond through social media. And this idea of creating and recreating yourself and having these different facets of yourself is really tangible to this generation of kids.
Yeah, but the thing that's so exciting about talking with you is we may be used to that happening in virtual space, but with you it's happening in real flesh and blood.
Yeah, amen. Hey, woman.
Amy Mullins speaking with Anne Strange Champs. To see photos of Amy Mullins and her 12 pairs of superpower prosthetic legs, go to our website at ttbook.org.
Thunder! 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 Thundercats! Ho!
Thundercats are on. Thundercats are loose.
I am Captain Planet!
Nobody's gonna chain the ever-loving thing! It's clobbering time!
By the power of Grayskull, I am power!
Universe. Trouble, Space Ghost?
It could be.
I've got to try blocking it off as Hawkman.
Calling Powdered Toast Man. Please respond. Come in, Powdered Toast Man.
Powdered Toast Man!
Danger Mouse! Amazing Danger Mouse!